It was the best job market for Black Americans on record, and then the pandemic hit.
Black Americans have disproportionately died from the disease caused by the coronavirus, and so you've had sort of almost a double blow to Black communities, both on the economic front and on the health front.
We'll talk about how that will impact the recovery in Black communities. It's Tuesday, June 9th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. A funeral service for George Floyd, whose killing while in police custody sparked protests across the nation, was held in his hometown of Houston today. Our Elizabeth Findell was there.
There has been a message today from most of the people who have spoken of using this funeral not as an end, but as a beginning of moving forward and continuing to honor Mr. Floyd's legacy by not letting this movement be like others that have slowly petered out. A lot of people are saying that this is the beginning of something bigger and that it is now the duty and responsibility of the people now to carry it forward. Former Vice President Joe Biden spoke in a previously recorded message and said that this is the time for justice and that when there's justice for George Floyd, then we will be on our way to justice in America. Some of Mr. Floyd's family members also spoke. His niece, Brooke Williams, gave a very powerful speech, basically taking aim at what she called a broken system in this country and vowing to do her part to change that.
It was the last in nearly a week of funerals and memorials across the country, including in Minneapolis and New York. We report exclusively that President Trump wanted to fire Defense Secretary Mark Esper for not supporting the president's decision to deploy active duty troops to protests. According to several officials, advisors and allies on Capitol Hill talked Trump out of ousting Esper. They say Esper had also begun to prepare a letter of resignation, but he was persuaded not to step down. Esper is President Trump's fourth defense secretary since he took office in January 2017. White House economic advisor Kevin Hassett says the administration would definitely support another federal stimulus package. Speaking at the Wall Street Journal's virtual CFO Network Summit today, Hassett said the odds of a Phase 4 stimulus bill are high.
We've made this massive stimulus effort to build the bridge to the other side. Now we're turning the economy back on. And what we need to do is watch the economy recover, see what the data are doing, and then have a plan for every eventuality. So if the data come in worse than we expected, then we have a plan for that that is pretty well structured.
Hassett also predicts the economy will contract in the second quarter, but rebound strongly in the third. And Adidas is pledging to increase diversity on its staff. The company says at least 30% of new hires in the U.S. will be Black and Latino. The sportswear company is also investing $20 million in Black communities. The move comes after some employees accused the company of profiting off of Black culture without doing enough to help the Black community and its own staff. Coming up after the break, how the coronavirus pandemic has dealt a blow to economic growth in Black communities. Tens of millions of Americans have lost their jobs in recent months. Some of those are coming back slowly, but not for all demographic groups, or in the same way. The latest monthly jobs report showed the unemployment rate among Black Americans is more than 3 percentage points higher than the rest of the population, and experts fear their recovery may take much longer. Joining me now is Wall Street Journal reporter Amara Omokwe. So, Amara, in the most recent jobs report, we saw pretty big disparities along demographic lines, including race. For Black Americans, the jobless rate was 16.8%, higher than the overall rate of 13.3%. Can you tell us more about the factors behind that?
So, in the last jobs report, we saw that employment rose overall for pretty much everyone, and that included Black Americans, but it did so less than for other groups, including whites and Hispanics. And what that essentially means is that although more African Americans were returning to work and looking for work, fewer were actually able to find jobs. what we see in the data is that African Americans tend to work in frontline kinds of jobs, including the service industry. And so this pandemic kind of affected African Americans in two ways. Either they had to continue working because they were frontline workers in essential areas, or they were less likely to be able to do their jobs from home. So they were more likely to become unemployed.
What about prior to the pandemic? What was the picture for Black workers then?
So prior to the pandemic, Black workers were actually seeing a lot of signs of an improving economy. And for the first time in a long time, we started to see different metrics improve for African Americans. We started to see the African American unemployment rate drop to around some of the lowest levels in records back to 1972. We saw wages for African Americans start to firm, and we saw the gap between African American wages and white wages narrow significantly. And so in a lot of ways, African Americans were seeing sort of the best economy for themselves in a very long time.
So now we have compound crises sweeping the nation. On the one hand, we're still in the very early days of what's hopefully going to be a recovery from the coronavirus pandemic. But the killing of George Floyd in police custody has sparked a new movement. What are you hearing from Black workers about how they feel about the prospects for economic recovery?
So several of the Black workers that we talked to for this story expressed sort of dismay at the fact that some of the progress that they had made in recent years was so abruptly disrupted. And when you talk to economists and other experts that think about the position of Black Americans in the economy, they will tell you that by several measures, Black Americans are less prepared to deal with economic shocks like the one that the pandemic has brought. So for instance, Black families tend to have less wealth, and that means that Black Americans have less of a cushion to recover from the kind of economic shock that the pandemic has brought. And also on the health front, Black Americans have disproportionately died from the disease caused by the coronavirus. And so you've had sort of almost a double blow to Black communities, both on the economic front and on the health front.
And these economic disparities are now in the spotlight as protests continue across the nation. And as experts you spoke with pointed out, there's a connection here between the economic and social factors at play. They're not entirely separate.
Right. So experts that we talked to said, you know, a lot of the frustration you see manifesting in protests is tied to, yes, the health disparities that the coronavirus pandemic has laid bare, but also the economic frustrations that African Americans have felt in this country for years. We talked to a researcher from the Brookings Institution, and he was pointing out that in the Minneapolis area where George Floyd was killed, the median income for Black households in 2018 was less than half of that for white households. There was also a huge Black-white homeownership gap in the Minneapolis area, and Blacks were disproportionately stopped by police in the Minneapolis area. So, you know, the researcher we talked to said it was almost like a powder keg that exploded. All these various factors and frustrations that Black Americans in that area and indeed across the country have been feeling kind of just poured over in this moment.
So when we talk about recovery, and there are a lot of challenges here, obviously, for the nation as a whole, but when we talk specifically about Black Americans, what are some of the unique challenges they're now facing as we start to look ahead?
So economists will say if you look at past recessions and past downturns, African Americans have recovered more slowly. And there is sort of a concern that that may be the case here as well. But interestingly, some of the experts we talked to said that this moment could also pose an opportunity to address some of these fundamental inequalities that we've been talking about, right? Because so many people saw the killing of George Floyd on a video and were horrified by it, and because we're not talking about some of the other inequalities that people are talking about in the wake of his death, perhaps it offers an opportunity for the country to really think about some of the systemic ways that African Americans haven't been able to participate in the economy, both during good times and then, you know, when there's a recovery from a downturn.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Amara Omokwe. Amara, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And finally, as Europe starts to reopen, countries have been rolling out regulations, a lot of them. In Italy, restaurant customers must wear a face mask while standing, but not while sitting down. Olive oil must be served in single-use pouches, not bottles. And beach time has to be reserved in advance with an app. Some of the new rules are so confusing, people can't even agree on what they are. Ice cream in cups or cones? It's a pretty hot debate right now. For businesses that straddle countries, it can get even trickier. There's a clothing store on the border between Belgium and the Netherlands that has different rules for each half of the store. We've got some pictures showing what that looks like up on our website, wsj.com. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.